a joy to be able to share with you today, and it's a joy also to welcome everybody that may be viewing online, and it's a joy for us to be together as the family of God. Here's a very West Kirby scene. On the beach, is the tide coming in? Is the tide going out? My guess is it may be just going out because the sand looks fairly pristine, doesn't it? Time for change. I looked at this and thought, well, that's rather subtle. That's rather subtle. Time for change. Because as the tide comes in and goes out, it washes away whatever we write on the sand. They're the unspoken words behind the words. And as I dwelt on that, it brought a kind of quiet smile, if you like, into my mind as the significance of it suddenly dawned upon me. I love those walks along the beaches from West Kirby. They bring joy and peace to the heart, as the Holy Spirit brings joy and peace to our inner being. And I surely agree that it is time for change post-COVID, but I honestly had not anticipated that as I sat down to prepare this, that we would hear reported on the news this surge of coronavirus infection again throughout Europe. You probably heard that the Netherlands have gone into a lockdown for the next 20 days leading into Christmas. I think Austria is going into lockdown today, tomorrow. And we have to pray. We have to pray for our own nation and the NHS and the way through this COVID time and the way our society is going to work, because surely there is change. But we want at the very heart of our thinking to acknowledge the presence of God in our lives as Christians, and that we are the agents of change, bringing God's kingdom, being salt and light in the society in which we live. And what does that mean? Well, what will those changes be? Well, Liz and I have postponed a number of things that we've been wanting to do, or they've been postponed on us through this COVID period. Last Christmas, if memory serves me correctly, Liz will correct me, our Christmas meal was a McDonald's Happy Meal in the Norton Keynes service station as we met up with Rachel and John, our daughter and son-in-law, and the kids, and we had a very Christmas hug. We shared a McDonald's Happy Meal. We exchanged the presents in between two boots of the car, and we bade them farewell. Ah, well, you'll have your own stories to reflect on, but thank God, with wisdom, some mistakes, our society's been able to come through this. And we thank God for it as we have prayed to him through it. But we're not there yet. If anyone is entitled to their booster and hasn't had it, I encourage you. I've had mine now. Let's pray for all of those people who are agonizing over the problems of whether or not they should have it. I'm looking forward to the twice postponed family skiing holiday that, all being well, comes before Easter next year. Through many years, we had such enjoyable family activity holidays when our kids were growing up skiing. And 3 years ago now, for the first time, we took the grandchildren with us. As an aging grandparent whose skiing time may run out at any time, it was a joy to see them be able to take to the slope and enjoy the beauty of and the exhilaration of that exercise. And I'm hoping that we can pick that up. That's scheduled just before next Easter. And then Liz and I, as we moved into our retirement, have become keener travelers in the sense that we've been able to, you know, find a bit more time to take such holidays. We love the kind of European city breaks, that kind of thing. And we're going to take a week, please God, in what started off as a Moscow and St. Petersburg holiday, which has migrated to, let's go to Sicily holiday. the in-between bit being cancellations and President Putin not behaving very nicely. And so Liz and I thinking it's not for us to go to Russia at this time, but there you go. But in Christian terms now, we come to bring good news as we emerge from COVID. The good news is that evergreen good news that the Holy Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus comes into us and fills us and makes things new as we will let him. And the evil one, despite all of the tragedies of our current experience, the evil one has no permanent authority in this. The evil one has no authority whatsoever in our lives when we give our lives to the Lord Jesus. Jesus' resurrection from death destroyed all the works of the devil, be it sin, disease, or death. We agonize sometimes in the in-between times of seeking to bring people to Christ, will they come? Seeking to pray again and again for miracles, for healing and blessing, and some of them have such pain as we don't see the outcome we want. But the lesson is to keep on praying. We have to accept that there are things we just don't know and can't understand, and we need to bring our anguish and anxiety to God rather than let that pull us away from God. Let me give you some examples, personal examples. Nothing very great, but just things that have actually happened to us in the last couple of weeks. Last Sunday, we met a friend walking over Calder Hill when we were walking with the dog. We've known him for many years, but he's not really known them too well. But he said to us as we were just chatting very briefly, please will you pray for my brother in Germany who's been diagnosed with cancer, and it's on my mind, it's troubling me. So I said, yes, let's pray right now. So Calder Hill had the benefit of a little prayer meeting on it, and we prayed for his brother. I don't know the outcome, but I said, Liz and I said, let's just pray now. I just had the sense, pray now. Now is the time. This week, another friend phoned with anxiety about problems which were weighing him down. It's a very practical problem of should he do this or should he do that, where it wasn't clearly right or wrong, but he was anxious about it. So I said, yeah, let's just talk through what's on your mind. And now let's pray. Let's invite the Lord Jesus to help you through these anxieties. So I spoke words of healing into his experience in Jesus' name. Another friend, completely out of the blue, explained that he'd been having suicidal thoughts. I certainly hadn't expected that. But we briefly talked about it. And I know that these things can come to us all at difficult times. In years past, they've come to me when I felt simply at the end of my tether. I couldn't cope. I didn't know what to do. And I was shocked to myself to find that I had those thoughts. On my way to work, I was crying in the car. I couldn't cope. I didn't know what to do. Praise God, I was able to, with the support of Christian friends, but also just bring it to the Lord Jesus and ask him to bring me through that. Another Christian friend recently been parted from his wife because of her passing to be with the Lord. And those words again came to me that I've sought to learn off by heart as the years have gone by and as I've had to share them as one grows old with contemporaries, the Lord Jesus, when he was speaking to Martha and Mary on the occasion of Lazarus' death, said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me will not die. And he who dies but believes in me shall live." Words of immense depth and gravity. For praise God, on that occasion, Lazarus was raised from dead, but Lazarus had to die again. And that is what we do because we suffer from the fallen consequences of sin. But praise God, he makes all things new, and we are new creations that are not subject to the sin of law and death, but we are subject to the greater power and victory of our Lord Jesus, who calls us to be renewed in this life and to be with him forever. So we speak change. I'm busy chatting away and I haven't flicked my flicker. Let's see if I can do it to make it go. Oh, there we are. And there's our key verse at the beginning of today's reading. And we're going to go back in a moment to that and read a little bit more of that passage. Because the Lord Jesus says, through Paul at this time, that it's always now that is the acceptable time of salvation. It is always now that is the right time to pray with our friends. It is always now that is the right time to bring the presence of Jesus. We ought to do it discreetly and wisely and seek his wisdom. But it is changed lives that will change lives. It is our lives as changed people. And I want to say, as you will want to say, that the Lord Jesus has changed my life and is changing my life. And it's the invitation of the Holy Spirit to do this. And as we look to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, as we go through this passage, I invite you to see this, that all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself in Christ and gives us the ministry of reconciliation. So by Jesus' resurrection, he has given us the power and the authority. He's given us the power and the authority. Jesus said, "All power is given to me. All authority is given to me. And you are to go out. And greater things will you do because I have risen." This is our ministry of reconciliation. And when you pray with somebody, when you bring change, your changed life will bring change into other people's lives. Therefore, I act and speak in his name. When I act and I bring the power and the presence of God into people's lives, because Jesus has changed my life and Jesus has changed your life. In John 14, 12, it says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." Now, be careful to understand this. Be careful to understand this well. What the Lord Jesus is saying is, I have a power, I have authority, I've given them to you. Go in that confidence and knowledge, and you too can speak healing and blessing and redemption into people's lives. I have to acknowledge that this is a difficult subject for me, as it probably is for you, because acting in the faith that Jesus gives me is not without limit. I wish it were otherwise, but truly it is not. But we are, as 2 Corinthians 5, 19 says to us, this, "And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors through God, as Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. So that's what we're doing. And through love, we're changing people's lives. Our vision is connecting your communities to Christ, connecting our communities to Christ. And we do so not as a social club. Liz and I are members of the tennis club down the road. We love playing tennis, love the people, enjoy the company of the people we're there, but we're there to play tennis primarily. Here, we are here to enjoy the family of God together and bring new life. That's the wonderful thing. We invite the Holy Spirit every day. In every morning and evening service, we invite the Holy Spirit. We seek to enjoy things like men's breakfasts and coffee, cake, and communion, and men's drinks once a month, and different ladies' activities and fellowship groups. And in all of those, rather differently to the tennis club, we're inviting the presence of the Lord Jesus through his Holy Spirit into our lives. So when you're in Wetherspoons enjoying the men's breakfast, you can, over your bacon and eggs, invite the Holy Spirit to be present, to be changing things. And through the men's drinks, evenings, and other things, in everything we do, we are inviting the presence of Jesus to change lives. So I come back to where I started and the end of the passage in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, and then running through to chapter 6, verse 2. God made him, Jesus, who hath no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There's an exchange taking place there. I know I'm telling you what you know only too well, but the exchange is that Jesus takes our sin, and praise God, and wonderfully, we take his righteousness. His relationship with the Father is ours too. If the metaphor walks for you, we walk hand in hand with the Lord Jesus across that freshly washed beach. We call upon his name, we act in his power and authority. So do you need change in your life today? As we've talked you through, do you need that change? I would say I definitely do, because you have to keep working on it. Each day is new. Each day we need this transformational change. But occasions arise when we need it so very much more, when the pains and difficulties of life confront us, we ask him to do his work in our lives. And that's my closing point, really. We ask him to do his work in our lives and to do his work in the lives of others. And the very close of our reading, we are God's fellow workers. We urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For it says, in the time of favor I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? I know I'm telling you what you know, but I hope you'll be blessed by the joy of that experience. And as we move into Advent, as we move out of all the pains of COVID, take that to heart and be blessed by it. Amen. I've I run over a little bit. I ask your forbearance and apology, but let us come.